Welcome finally to Martin Molloy for another week right around the nation with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, the next Mr. Kiri De Carnaway. Just you wait and see, Mick Molloy.
You wait, I'll be in there like a flash, T. Martin.
Okay, but we must thank everybody who took part in our magic Mother's Day special on Friday. Everyone who faxed us in, program returns to normal from today. And I must say a special hello to our Newcastle listeners on NXFM. We've been hearing about the Newcastle City Council paying a private detective to have sex with prostitutes in order to secure evidence against illegal brothels. Mm. And the investigator, it seems, had been given a per-visit budget of $200 and was told to return to the same brothel more than once so as not to cause suspicion.
Mm.
That's a tough gig, isn't it?
Yeah,
that one,
sure.
Rocking up to the town hall and getting $200 from petty cash for the third time in one afternoon. Sorry, I think they might be getting suspicious. Really think I should pop back a couple more times this evening just to fully allay any lingering doubts they may have. Wouldn't one visit be enough to confirm whether or not it's a brothel? What's going on there? Oh, I went in, some women came out and had sex with me. It might have just been a fluke. Better go back a few more times and see if it happens again. Wouldn't you love to have been at the council meeting where the budget was approved? All in favour of paying one bloke to have a lot of sex with prostitutes, say aye. Councillor Bradley, what sort of budget will this man require? Oh, about $200 a visit. Apparently. So we want to keep up to date on that.
We do indeed.
In Newcastle, and here's another story I think we've got to keep people abreast of. Remember when we had Wendy Harmer in and she was telling us about a bloke she had on her show, Mr. Methane.
Yes.
He's a novelty act. Basically, he can play any tune on the backdoor bugle. Mm. Remember we got him to redo the theme from Entertainment Tonight for us? Remember that? Here's a bit of his work. Bit louder if you could, Andy. Because, you know, people are listening in quadraphonic. I'd hate to. Thanks very much.
That's
Andy,
fantastic.
Filling in for Gracie today.
Doing a sterling job.
Very nice, because he's got the same name, Gracie.
That's what we said. Get us some bloke called Gracie.
So we've gone through the phone book, and we've got Andy. Mr. Methane, who's from England, he's had a lot of offers to move to Hollywood, but I think British food is a key ingredient in his success. He's copped at both barrels from Phil Collins. Philbo has blocked a move by Methane to release a cover version of In the Air Tonight. This is deadly serious. Gee, what now for Mr. Methane? Wind beneath my wings? Obviously, Martin Molloy will be keeping you up to date on this case. He's a fantastic live act.
Mm.
I always get there early just to see him doing the mic tests. That's always fun.
Two!
But do we have any tour dates for Mr. Methane at this point? Is he going to be doing the Crown Casino in Melbourne?
Oh, you'd think so.
Out the front with those flame bars? There's something for him there. Hey, there was allegations of animal cruelty at Melbourne's new Crown Casino over the weekend. The RSPCA are angry that five white doves, which were released as part of the Crown celebrations, were badly burnt when they flew into one of those 15-metre flame towers. They're even angrier about another 20 doves who were apparently made to sit through Red Hot and Rhonda, the Crown floor show starring Rhonda Birchmore.
Have
you seen the ads, the promotion for that show, Mick? I've seen the ads for that, and I live in Perth. In case you haven't seen him, they've got this bloke, I don't know who he is, but he seems to do all the big voiceovers now. He talks like this, Red Hot and Rhonda. Rhonda Birchmore in a new show created especially for Melbourne's Crown Casino. You can hear his voice from the other end of your house. That's who Pauline Hanson should be getting for her ads.
Yeah.
Red Hot and Pauline, a new show created especially for mainstream Australia, including all her classics.
No, I'm not going to discuss that at this moment.
Plus...
this is Australia. English is the language spoken here.
And of course, her biggest hit.
I don't like it.
Yes, Red Hot and Pauline. Book now. Rotten fruit and vegetables supplied at the door. That's Bruce Springsteen with Secret Garden here at Martin Molloy. Whose idea was it to put the lines from the film in there?
I have no idea. I thought we were like, you know, our transmitter was picking up a police radio or something. That's just sounding like shite. Someone's got too much spare time on their hands around here.
How's that version we were trying to get up with the song Blue Velvet with lines from that movie? Is that coming along?
It's in the pipeline.
Don't you look at me! Don't you look at me! Just in between every gap. I think that'd work. What's going on? It's Martin Malloy, and I think our stunt producer Andy's getting the hang of it now. He's just stabbing at buttons randomly.
He's got a big P-plate round his neck. He's doing well.
And what big news have I neglected to mention in my opening rave? I got through Mr. Methane, of course, in the Newcastle Prostitutes Affair.
Well, where do you go from there? Hey, what have you left me, pal?
Oh, there must be something.
Well, yeah, I was leafing through the Sydney Morning Herald, and have a listen to this article. Listen, right. An Australian robotics scientist will leave for Europe next month to finalise arrangements for the development of what could become the world's first commercial computerised warning system for sleepy motorists.
Yep.
Well, Dr. Alex Zielinski from the Research School of Information Science and Engineering at the Australian National University in Canberra has been working for 18 months on the technology, which would use a tiny camera and a computer to monitor changes in the driver's face if the computer suspected the motorist was falling asleep or losing concentration, and a warning alarm would sound. Well, that's good news for motorists listening to this show anyway. Takes the element of danger out of tuning into Martin Malloy, really, doesn't it? Yeah. Anyway, next time I do yet another desperate joke about Peter Andre having no genitalia, all you'll hear at any major intersection around the big brown land will be... Well, there he does, he's gone again. What's that, Tone? You found another Spice Girls story in today's paper. Oh, there they go. Wakey, wakey, everybody.
It's very useful.
See, this is going to slash the national road toll in half, I reckon. Is an alarm the right way to go, though, Tone?
I don't know.
I don't know. What about one of those Extendo boxing gloves that springs out from the steering wheel and bops you on the nose? You know, like the ones we've had fitted in the studios here, deployed halfway through a Bryan Adams song just to make sure we're not nodding off on the job. They've proved more than handy recently during moments on this show that have leaned towards the boring end of the spectrum, wouldn't you say, Tone? Tone? Tone?
Oh, jeez! Sorry, Mick, were you on about the Spice Girls?
Yeah, I'm afraid I was. See, that'd be better than an alarm, wouldn't it?
That's very effective, yeah. That's great.
Not bad at all. What about employing a bit of mechanical bull technology to the driver's seat?
Oh,
imagine, you're cruising along, minding your own business, maybe listening to some Wigfield, you're getting sleepy, then all of a sudden... Whoa! What the ho-ho? I'm awake already! I'm awake! Ho-ho! Turn it off! Ho-ho! See what I mean, Tone? There's fun to be had here. They haven't been thinking down there.
No.
Was it Research Institute Technology?
No. Brainiacs Incorporated.
See, I'm thinking. I'm having a go.
Yep.
What about a headrest that shakes your noggin up like a tin of paint at a hardware store when you're on the nod? I don't know. What about hanging a hive of angry hornets from the rear vision mirror? What about replacing sheepskin seat covers with echidna skin seat covers?
I've done that anyway.
I think we have. Can we just cut back to that crowded intersection for a second? Yeah. Thought I was losing them. Do you think the alarms are a good idea, Tone? Tone?
Can we get this segment over with?
Oh, dear. I'm lucky I'm doing all the talking, or else I'd be beating around the ears myself. Well, there you go. Do you think it's a good idea? I think so. Mind you, you'd have to wear earmuffs if you wanted to go see a Sally Field film at the drive-in. Oh, it'll be going off. It'll be a cacophony of noise. And what about our old buddy William Shakespeare? Is he still living in his car? Oh, he's going to have some very restless nights.
Those fine young cannibals here at Martin Malloy with Suspicious Minds. And, Mick, you know how, we advertise a lot of products on this show?
Yep.
Occasionally some of them come back. You know, recalls.
Oh, yeah.
Malloy Balloon Animal Condoms. The days of fumbling round in the dark like a hapless clown just when things start getting messy are a thing of the past thanks to these little babies, which have turned the awkward and often embarrassing procedure of donning a condom into a show-stopping highlight of even the most steamy of sessions. You'll know when the time is right to impress your lady, not only with your sensible approach to safe sex, but also with the hastily constructed giraffe now clinging to your pecker. Allow me to demonstrate the amazing versatility of this revolutionary new product. Please, meet my good friend, the billy goat. Or, how about, the squirrel to get the juices flowing. And lads, trust me when I tell you, you'll never go home empty-handed once you've gone to work on the sausage dog. Now that's man's best friend. What's that I hear you say? Looks difficult? Well, it's not. because each packet of balloon animal condoms comes complete with easy-to-follow instructions and a complimentary puncture kit. Here's what some of our many satisfied customers have had to say about new balloon animal condoms.
Hi, I'm Dave, and my partner didn't seem overly interested in sex, but when I pulled back the sheets to reveal a meticulously crafted melon head whale, she was putty in my hands. Thanks, Martin Malloy.
G'day. Not only have I had incredible sex every night since using these condoms, I've also managed to win red faces. Thanks, guys.
Lots of guys can make love like a tiger, but look, I can make love with a tiger.
So, for the ultimate contraceptive experience, grab a packet of Martin Malloy balloon animal condoms. They'll bring out the animal in anyone.
Wait! What about protection?
Allow me.
Wow, check out the antlers on that.
Well, of course it is from the Cardigans here at Martin Malloy. We're in the next hour. Prize Dicks are tendering its third and most hard-fought week. Your last chance to go to Hong Kong and hang out with Steven Spielberg at the opening of The Lost World. That's in the next hour, along with Tom Gleisner. He'll be dropping by, so it must be frontline tonight. It certainly is. Second to last one this evening. Oh, hey. 8 o'clock on the ABC. Radio Gladiators is coming up, and I think we're going to take a look at that Who magazine.
Great.
So cool, beautiful people list. What's happening with... is there an exciting new development in local restaurants, Mickey?
Yeah, there is, Tane. I think next month in Sydney is going to mark the opening of the first Australian Hooters.
Oh, we've heard about Hooters.
You're familiar with the concept? Yeah. It's a restaurant, basically, where all the waitresses have enormous jugs.
Yeah.
That's the only qualification you need, basically. Have jugs, will travel at Hooters.
There's not much house, there's no memorabilia.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. No
guitars hanging up on the wall.
Yeah, no. It's very similar to the all-male staffed restaurant chain we floated called Ghoulies.
Oh, I remember.
Do you remember that?
That was closed.
Yeah. It didn't last too long. No. It was where all the waiters got around, well, looking pretty much like David Duchovny in a pair of Speedos recently. Exactly. Still, we had a good time. Yeah, got lots of tips. You had a lot of coin weighing down the back of your underpants, if I remember correctly, Tane.
But it was all about the cuisine.
It was indeed. I'm thinking Hooters, they're starting in Sydney, and I think they're going to plan to try and set one up in every state. And I'm thinking that's good news for Queensland patrons, because their Hooters could be staffed entirely by the Colston family, I would have thought.
Oh, yes.
Everyone on board.
They're ready to go at Hooters.
Check the Hooters on that bloke. Must be Doug!
It's not a theme restaurant dedicated to obscure 80s band The Hooters.
Oh, so please,
people need to know that, I think.
Your food would be coming back up straight away.
Hey, I don't know whether anyone caught Pauline Hanson on Late Line the other night on the ABC.
I missed it.
I'm hoping it's going to be repeated on the Comedy Channel. Because it really was a fantastic laugh. Right. Actually seeing Paul, you know, because when she leaves the safety of the side of the pool, the side of the pool being, Asians go home, there's not much else going on, is there? Pretty much every question was answered by...
No, I'm not going to discuss that at this moment.
Really? What is your name, madam?
No, I'm not going to discuss that at this moment.
It got down to that at one point. Everything was either, I'm under consultation, or it has to be addressed.
Okay.
That has to be addressed. What about foreign, you know, the foreign banks? Has to be addressed, but we already have a foreign bank review board. Well, they have to be addressed. Everything has to be addressed.
Ultimately, yes.
It's the one address party. It's just people sitting around addressing. But it was a fantastic bit of work. I'm just trying to remember if there were any other highlights. I'm going through it all. Apparently, there are like something like 20% of our population is Asians who are sneaking in here through New Zealand.
Are they?
That was a bit I enjoyed. And there was, and of course, they're all moving to Cabramatta. Cabramatta was the other answer to pretty much every question.
Was it?
It was either I'm not prepared to discuss it or Cabramatta. But no, it was a fantastic bit of work.
Just out of interest, who else was on the late line with Pauline Hanson?
Well, there was nobody. It was just Pauline Hanson.
Don't they? I thought they normally have. Don't they have two other guests on?
Oh yeah, on the other two screens. They wanted to make it an evenly matched interview, so they just had two short planks.
This is Martin.
This is Martin Malloy, right around the nation. Thanks to Coca-Cola and Pete. What's it time for?
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
A lot of Who magazines floating around the office today, Mickey, because it's the 25 most beautiful people of 1997, and it's a fairly predictable bunch.
Isn't it?
It's Kylie Minogue.
Mm.
It's, who else? Chick who married David Duchovny.
Mm.
Nova Peris Kneebone. I could have seen that coming a mile off. Who else is in there? Juliette Binoche. And, oh, Ball Blake off Medivac. It took me a second to remember.
Indeed.
Is it like a giant conspiracy? Is everyone just getting together and going, let's all tell him it looks really good? And he'll keep shaving his head forever.
Mm.
But no, he's one of the most beautiful people. And then you've got, Ocean Girl. Weren't you the original Ocean Girl?
I was.
People have forgotten that early series.
I have indeed.
Who else? Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
Bloke off Recovery. Cuba Gooding Jr. And, who am I forgetting? Of course, Nelson Mandela.
As we say, it's just so predictable.
Jeez, man, Tutu must be furious about that.
He's getting the duds off for Black and White magazine. he's not taking it lying down.
And they've left off, there's no Doug Colston, there's no bloke from the Godfrey's commercial, there's no Doug Parkinson,
there's no
Minister of Education.
You know what? Who I was looking forward to seeing in there?
Who?
Susie Maroney, covered from head to toe in chicken fat.
If that's not tripping your trigger, I don't know what does. And in a shark cage.
Oh, yes, please.
Before it sinks. And what about, just mentioning Amanda Vanstone.
Yeah.
Just a fucking detour to the Woman's Day. Look at this article about Amanda Vanstone.
Mm.
Big girls don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
She's been the butt of some of the cruelest jokes in Parliament, but tough MP Amanda Vanstone says she has the hide of a rhinoceros.
There's nothing to add there, really, is there?
It's like my favourite sentence since last week when Mel Colston says he doesn't dump on his colleagues. Didn't that paint a fantastic picture in your mind when you're reading it? Okay, so I think what we're saying today is, well, not so much who's been left off, but who would you throw in there? Who have you? We've done this before. Who have you had a crush on? Mm. Who have you got? Which celebrity do you have, or in the past have had, a secret kind of crush on? Mickey, have you...
Well, from my childhood, just sing out if I've mentioned any of these before on
All
the show. Tone, I used to have a soft spot for Shirley from Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yeah.
Mentioned that, ever?
Yeah, I think you've done that one.
Penelope Pitstop.
Yeah, check.
Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, done
Mrs.
that.
Cunningham.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Nanny from Nanny and the Professor.
Yeah.
The Blonde One from Cheetah.
Yeah, I've done that.
Nurse Tanya Livingston from The Young Doctors.
Yeah.
Woodrow, Welcome to My Wonder World.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure I've mentioned that one before. Well, I think I'm out.
You're out.
I think that covers me.
Well, I've gone through all mine. Here's a good one. My little brother, just a few, because he's about 10 years younger than me, and a couple of years ago I had a crush on, I don't even know who it is. It's the woman with the large breasts from Star Trek The Next Generation. Do you know who I mean?
No. Mr. Zulu?
Who are you talking about?
Mr. Zulu. I don't know.
But he's gone along to a Star Trek convention because he's heard she's going to be there.
Right.
She's cancelled at the last minute and instead they've got Mr. Chekhov from the original Star Trek. That's true. I think they're maintaining a very healthy pen pal relationship and he got a bit of a peck on the cheek, but that's as far as
All right.
That's a true one. I'm just trying to think. I had a dog once that had a crush on the Littlest Hobo. Remember that show, The Littlest Hobo?
Oh, I used to love The Littlest Hobo.
Just go nuts when the thing song came on. Santia, our assistant Santia, anything we need to know about?
Yeah, it was pretty secret too. It was Philip Gould from Young Talent Time.
And later from the Saturday Show.
Yeah, and then he was in that, there was a big musical and I saw him at South Pacific and I didn't know he was on there.
He must have been smitten to endure a production of South Pacific.
Oh,
wow, you're keen as mustard.
Still does it for me.
Was it the hair?
The whole outfit.
It was just the whole ghoul.
The potpourri.
Aroma. Of course, our stunt producer today, Andy Grace. Anyone you...
Miss Patricia from Romper Room.
Likewise, Mr. Doobie over here.
Yeah.
Classic.
Remember, Andy, she could see you and you and you. From any part of television world. And a great one came out of the show last week. Derek from our sandwich shop, apparently pretty keen on Pauline Hanson.
Yeah.
And it's a serious kind of relationship he's got going with her. He always pre-softens the tomatoes before he throws them at her.
He's a good egg.
That's how much he cares.
I was surprised that we didn't see Derek from the sandwich shop in Who's 25 list of most beautiful people.
He'll be furious.
For sure he'd be there. Flying, kind of straddled seductively over the Bay Marie or something.
I don't know.
With an apple in his mouth.
All right, better luck next year, Derek. And listeners, call us up, tell us who you've got or have had a crush on. Who would you put in your most beautiful list and step into our prize lounge?
Oh, listen to this. It's a six-pack of CDs, including the new one from Dave Graney, The Devil Drives. Mm. And that, of course, contains his beaut new single, Feeling Kind of Sporty. I'm surprised Dave didn't get in there.
I thought he'd be a shoo-in.
Yeah, he's just sick of all that, is he?
He's turned his back on it.
I'm putting the safari suits away. Yeah. Leave me alone. And Dave, of course, going to be a very important part of our show next week when we launch our new competition, which I think is dedicated to the work. At least the stylings of Mr. Graney. Call us now. Tell us who you've got a crush on. 1-800-657-657. And feels here at Martin Malloy. It's
you
radio.
You don't have to tell me, buddy.
I know. It's Radio Gladiators. And we're talking crushes. Who's got one? Who's had one? On who? Who's going first? Mick.
Jadie's going to kick us off today. Are you there, Jadie?
Yes. Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, not too bad at all. Tell us who you had a crush on, would you?
It's really embarrassing, but I was madly in love with Brian Mannix.
Oh, dear.
And we used to go to his concerts and throw our trainer bras at him.
Oh, very nice. This is a very familiar story. Whenever we do this, we just sit and wait for the name Mannix to come up, Jodie.
He was my hero.
And what, not these days, though?
No, definitely not.
Who are you hurling intimates at these days?
Oh, Maxi Priest and the likes of
him. And what was it about Mr. Mannix that really turned you on? Was it those stretch, tight Fabergé tackle mashes?
And the moccasins, yes, and spunky legs.
And are you, as we are, looking forward to his science fiction novel about the AFL?
I didn't even know about it.
We read about that in the Who magazine last year, and I've been recommending it to, you know, I've been on the phone to Caroline Baum for that book program. I said, you've got to do a special on this. A science fiction movie about the AFL. Oh, sorry, a film, book, screenplay. It'll be everything. Mm. There'll be action figures.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Jodie. Throw on the trainer bra at Brian Mannix. But
I think he's wearing it these days.
Is he? Still getting that beautiful people list yet. Have we got Shannon on the line?
Hello.
Shannon, who'd you have a crush on?
Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, Cyndi Lauper, of course, with Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yes, that's the one.
And then when did it start to go off? Was it around the time of She-Bop or the theme from The Goonies?
I was a bit young for The Goonies. About She-Bop time it happened.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And what is she? Isn't she wrestling or something these days?
No, she gave up the wrestling. Now she tried to make a career in movies, but just ended up with a typical Hollywood syndrome, hooked on drugs and...
Oh, really?
Of course. So, now she's off of these.
Okay. Hooked on drugs.
Well, I don't know.
Are we required by law to substantiate that?
Possibly.
Okay. All right, thanks, Shannon.
But then again, you can just refer to one of her film clips and you'd probably get off in a court of law.
Fair enough. Have we got Nola on the line there? Are you there, Nola?
Yes, hi, guys.
Hi, who'd you have a crush on?
Look, it was a bit of a group crush, and we were at school. About six of us were just besotted with the guys from Matlock Police.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Now, it's quite a big cast, so you better rank them for us, Nola.
Oh, look, you know, it pretty much depended on who got to school first. You used to get the pick of the crop, and, you know, there was Steve, and, oh, God, I think he went on to bigger and better things in Sons and Daughters.
Right.
And, of course, my favourite, Paul Cronin, was Gary on the motorbike.
You wanted to be just sitting on the back of that tandem style as cruised up the highway,
and
didn't
if
you?
If your mother got you late to school, you had to end up as Michael Pate for the day.
That's like detention.
Oh, I've got Pate again. And Nola, do you, I mean, Paul Cronin's still getting about. Do you video, you know, all his Mitre 10 commercials?
No, I've got on to bigger and better things.
Mm. Okay. And like what?
Oh, hit Blue Heelers.
Oh, Blue Heelers.
Let's not get started.
We don't have time, Nola. Have we got Eric on the line? Are you there, Eric?
Hello, fellas.
Hi, who have you got a crush on?
Oh, I used to have a crush on Samantha Fox years ago.
Oh, Samantha Fox, yes. Out here recently, you weren't queuing up to see her again?
No, I wasn't queuing up, mate.
I think she's going to be working at Sydney's Hooters. Probably catch up with her there, Eric.
Yes, and what was the big song that she had? What was it?
Oh, I can't even think of that. I used to have a big pin-up in my bedroom, and when me and the now wife used to go back there, I had to turn it round before we had sex.
It's a classy admission.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you can't remember the name of the song, but can remember the poster.
You know, that seems to be crossing the border from, you know, who you had a crush on into who you had an obsession with. You know, it's a blurry line, and I think we've crossed it.
We'll be opening the closet again in a sec. Have we got Kerry on the line? You there, Kerry?
Greetings.
Who'd you have a crush on, Kerry?
Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yes, okay. Nicely done.
Before or after?
Before.
Oh, no, there's Bill Bixby before, wasn't it?
Yeah, you didn't have a crush on Bill Bixby.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, you mean, no, he had to have the bumps in all the right places.
Oh, so once the shirt came off and he went all green,
yeah,
you were a bit keener.
Kerry likes her men green.
Is it, do you have a boyfriend who you ask to, you know, green up for you ever, Kerry?
No, he didn't like the idea of the green dye and he left.
Oh, there you go.
I actually met Lou Ferrigno at Christmas. I had to get into the celebrity name dropping on the show. But I met, and I'm afraid he's married.
Yeah, and he's shrunk, hasn't he?
He has shrunk, but he's managed to find himself a tiny wife, which impressed me. It was amazing. All right, thanks very much, Kerry. And I think Mark is there. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who have you got the crush on?
Probably someone that everyone had a crush on, I think, years ago, Delphine Delaney.
Oh, yes, Delphine.
Yeah. I'm on board.
Yeah.
And which particular incarnation? Was it hosting the gift shop on sale? Was it doing those skits with Strop on the Paul Hogan show?
Oh, just about anything she did, I think, I fell apart.
I couldn't believe it when I found out she was going out with Strop. Because I used to watch
him. He must be the luckiest bloke in the country.
I used to get round town with one of those life-saving hats on for a while. I'm thinking, well, I don't know if it's working for Strop. Well, maybe I'm in with the ladies.
Yeah, I tried that, but she never turned up.
Okay. And then he had to paint himself green with his next girlfriend. Okay, thanks, Mark. I think finally we've got Vince. Everything always ends with a Vince on Martin Malloy. Are you there, Vince?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who have you got or had a crush on?
Bewitched, the evil sister.
Oh, the evil sister. Yeah. Now, it was played by the same actress, was it?
Yeah, it was, actually.
So you only liked her when she was evil?
Oh, yeah.
When she was just goody two-shoes, not so keen?
Not so keen, no.
Right. What about the not-so-evil one in a bad mood?
Oh, yeah, that'll do.
That's what used to do it for me. You know, it's kind of that in-between.
Yeah, evil was too far.
Exactly.
Across the line. Well, that's a beauty, Vince, but is it our winner? We've got Jody with Brian Mannix, Shannon with Cindy Lauper, Nola with the Matlock Police Cast, Eric with Sam Fox, Kerry with Lou Ferrigno, Mark with Delphine Delaney, Vince with the evil version of Elizabeth Montgomery. Which one are you going for, Mickey?
Oh, let's go to Nola.
Yes.
I want the whole cast of Matlock and, in particular, happen to do pate duty.
Yes, okay. That deserves a prize. Are you there, Nola?
Yes, hi, guys. I knew those pubescent fantasies would come in handy one day.
Well, we've got a six-pack, not a three-pack, the new improved six-pack of CDs coming your way, and including, the latest one from Dave Graney, who I think's got a bit of the old Matlock uniform in the wardrobe.
Wow.
Look out.
That's where all old clothes go, round to Dave's place. Thanks for taking part, and thanks to everyone who had a crush. We'll be back in the remainder of this hour with Tom Gleisner. Boy, how the right background music can reinvigorate your social life. Prize Dicks enters its third and final week, and next up, Tom Gleisner's back, all thanks to Coca-Cola.
Noted, thanks very much.
Human nature, don't say goodbye here at Martin Malloy, and let's bring somebody else down to our level, shall we, this bloke. He's part of the team behind Frontline and the Castle. We know him as Tommy G, but that always confuses me. Is he the sporty one or the sexy one? Let's ask Tom. Tom Gleisner!
Good afternoon. Great to be here. Although, I must say, thanks for abandoning me in the kitchen. I arrived during the news, and he said, come out and have a drink. And I look around, I'm reading The Age, and next moment, I'm on my own. Justin had to lead me back to the studio. Thank you very much.
I heard the sports theme from the news. Mm. That's when I have to come running around.
It's an instinctive thing.
I gave you a pay before I left.
That's true.
He's reading The Age. He's looking for material. I'm going, oh, you are such a novice.
Mick just dropped a copy of People magazine in my lap and said, there you go. And thank you, Mick. We'll be coming to it a bit later.
I think we fished out those waters, Tom, but what have you found? Is there anything in there that you've noticed?
Well, Susie Moroney, she's swimming as we speak off the coast of Cuba, and apparently they say the next 24 hours is when it gets really, really serious, and she's likely to experience cramps, nausea, vomiting, and hallucinations. Why they're going via a nightclub is anyone's guess.
It's the long way round.
But still, someone has to do it, and good on you, Susie.
And she's got her nightclub cage on, too.
Oh, is that right? You need. Now, I heard you bagging that Bruce Springsteen song about an hour ago.
No, we love the Bruce Springsteen song. It's just the inserts. They've put
the dialogue. It's rather odd, isn't it?
Yeah. I like the film and I like the song. It's just, I think they should be kept separate.
Well, I was going to say, I actually got to see the film, and that is a rare achievement for me to see a film. And
yes.
I know you'll hate this, Tony, but I saw it on a plane.
How long did it go? It goes a bit like about an hour 50, doesn't it, on a plane?
It was about an hour 10, I think. There was a scene on the front veranda where Tom Cruise was undressing her, like undoing this beautiful black dress, and then suddenly they were having coffee the next morning. And I know my sexual experience may be a little limited, but there's something missing there.
Isn't there another bit?
I think so. But they're very conservative on planes with movies because, I know we'll get onto the castle in just a moment. well, in fact, we're onto it now. We had an offer to from an airline. I won't say who, because it might jeopardise the negotiation. Aeroflot get very... sensitive. But we've had an offer from an airline to buy the castle and screen it. But we got this list, this memo of things that would have to be removed from the film in order for it to be screened. The memo was actually longer than the script of the original film. They wanted all the F words. Yeah. Frenetic had to go throughout the whole film, and a lot of other ones. But this one got me ass. They wanted the word A-R-S-E. Now, I seem to remember the word ass was used, said by Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. Remember when they went to the Ascot, the races, and move your blooming ass.
Not on the flight to Melbourne from Sydney, it wasn't, Tommy.
Well, provided, I guess maybe if the adjective blooming is used before it, you just sneak in. But even the word ass is going to have to be removed. So, I don't know, because a lot of the Americans, when they redub, they go flip, don't they?
Yeah, or freak.
Freak or flip? I don't know how it's going to work.
I don't flip. Is it? Flip?
Or you just cut it, of course. You just snip it. I remember when Apocalypse Now was first shown on television, and that opening scene in the hotel room was Saigon. And that was it.
That was the opening line of the movie.
Yeah. And the credits came shortly after that.
I think I've told you this one before, Tom. My favourite is still going to see RoboCop.
Oh, yes.
And there's a scene where a bloke's bagging his boss. The boss is in the toilet cubicle, has heard everything, comes out. And he goes, you know, I used to call my boss a lot of bad names. I used to call him a scumbag. I used to call him something else. And then the worst one of all, it was obviously something bad, but a totally different actor's voice just came in on the one word and just went, airhead.
And what was airhead covering? I don't want to go into it.
Ass, probably.
I guess so. Well, anyway, ass is going to be removed. So if you're actually travelling on Aeroflot in the next few months and you do see the castle, it'll be shorter than it actually is on the cinemas.
That'd be a great place to actually have a film premiere. Right, everyone onto a plane.
Well,
just cruise.
What do you do, Tony, on a plane? Do you like virtual gaze? You refuse to watch
if it's a good film, I won't watch it on the plane. But, you know, some films are designed to only be seen on planes. Yes. Sergeant Bilko.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, yes.
I was outraged to find nothing was cut from that. Absolutely nothing.
You should complain to them. No, but the castle will be a fairly abridged effort, I'm led to believe.
All right. Well, enough about that. We want to talk about tonight's Frontline, and that'll be next on Martin Molloy. It's Alanis Morissette with Ironic here at Martin Molloy, where Tom Gleisner's sitting in, and we're just enjoying a bit of, is that Wheel of Fortune?
Well, it's just gone off, and first of all, I noticed that Baby John no longer has the mow. I'm sorry. Is that old news?
It's catchphrase too. It's not even wheel. We're hopeless.
But then an ad, I just caught a glimpse of an ad with the sound out. It's hard to work it out, but it appeared to be Michael Jackson. Has he got a new work coming out? I just saw the phrase hosted by Molly Meldrum.
It is. It's some new CD or something, isn't it? Called Blood on the Dance Floor, I believe.
But it's a film called Ghosts, and it's him turning into all manner of frightening creatures. But it just doesn't seem quite as unusual as it is.
It's just saved on makeup anyway.
Who's this footage from one of his press conferences?
I don't know. There's the three blokes sitting here not knowing what anything is. Okay. It's Martin Molloy. That's how it works. And what's on tonight, Re-Frontline, Tom?
Now, a few of us have come in over the past 13 weeks and got it completely wrong, haven't we?
Promoed
episodes that have gone to air or never going to go to air. Now, I've rung the office and I think I'm reliably informed that this is the penultimate edition of Frontline tonight for the listeners at home. The second last one, episode 12, and it is entitled The Code. And it's about, you guys know this, but the listeners may not. It's the fact that everyone in the entertainment industry pretends to like each other and get on, whereas in reality, they hate each other. Yeah. I don't want to blow it, but of course, people assume you guys do this show from the same studio, whereas in fact, Nick, of course, is based in Townsville, and Tony has a landline to his bathroom down in Launceston.
Is everything going all right up there, guys?
I'm fine.
You can't tell on either.
I know, exactly, and I hope I haven't sort of blown anything by mentioning that, but no one gets on in this industry, but this all comes to a head this evening when Mike Moore finally, after 5 years of dropping hints, gets to go on This Is Your Life.
Oh, really? This Is Your Life?
Well, that's debatable, and in the hands of our legal department at the moment. But let's just say the host is a little slimmer than you might normally expect. But no, Mike's on that. But some big name guest stars tonight. We've realised we're running out second last. Yeah. We had to bung them in. They were queuing up. And of course, Trevor Marmalade, excellent comedian. Trevor, and of course, the two gentlemen sitting opposite me, Mick and Tony, make their guest appearances.
It's very brief. It's nothing special.
And in fact, while the water was warm, I jumped in myself. You'll even see me very briefly.
You're not doing your photocopier appearance.
No, I've changed character. Totally. I spent 2 years working on this one. It's one line, and actually they're cutting the episode at the moment, so chances are it's probably being omitted.
There you go.
Hopefully I shall be in it. and you'll get to see Mike Moore on This Is Your Life this evening on Frontline.
This Is Your Life.
Tom, we've talked about This Is Your Life before on this show. Do you feel as we do that it's just not quite as good in the half-hour format? People's lives are just rushed through too quickly.
True. That's true. The War Brothers. I don't think we had enough acute embarrassment during that episode. That could easily become a mini-series for mine.
But it's just, you know, when I was a kid, it was a big event when they brought out the book, and someone came on, it was a whole hour.
Yes, exactly.
And it's just not as... your life doesn't seem as significant. We've said this before, when you have to get it out of the way quick so Hale and Pace can come
on. Exactly. 23 minutes. I mean, could you cram a life into 23 minutes?
You see when Don Lane was on, they're bringing out people he hasn't seen for like 20 years, and they're going, sit down over there, we've got another one coming through.
Oh, I'd never do that show. I'd have to have that book down the back of my pants, I reckon.
Now, okay, so it's the final episode next week, but Tom, let's turn over just for a second to your film, The Castle. I know there's a lot of articles in the paper at the moment about the Cannes Film Festival. Are you represented over there?
Yes, we've sent our sort of business partner, Michael Hirsch, across, and he's flown Air Emirates. And being Jewish, I received a very quiet phone call from Dubai the other day. He was whispering. They didn't know he'd snuck into the country. He was loitering in a transit lounge somewhere, going, I'm here, don't tell anyone. And then he's flown on through, and he's at Cannes, but it's a complete circus, I believe. Yeah. It's, you know, you know what the Logies is like. Well, it's sort of that times 10. It's just people wanting to be noticed, to hanging around and looking good on the beach. And
but you're not in competition or anything, though.
Well,
but the thing is, you're there. We're there. This is great for you because you can just say hit of the Cannes Film Festival.
Well, we couldn't get a cinema. We're at a drive-in, actually, the only drive-in in the south of France. But it's there, and I guess, you know, they'll show their appreciation. Yeah. They'll toot their horns.
I read in a paper today that Noel Gallagher from Oasis was kicked out of the screening of Johnny Depp's new film because apparently he was underdressed. It was supposed to be black tie. And then I heard he went to a screening of The Castle and couldn't get in because he was overdressed.
Yeah, exactly. He had pants on,
didn't he? Pants on.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't want your type round here.
Absolutely not. But we're awaiting reports. Of course, the box office is in francs, and I haven't done the conversion yet. But
you can just make up some French award for yourself. You know, it was the special Prix de Speciale.
Exactly.
They only hand out one of them.
It's a bit like the Franklin Mint. Have you noticed every artist in the Franklin Mint is an award-winning artist?
Absolutely.
Well, The Castle could be a bit like that, I guess.
And every comedian is the head of the Edinburgh Festival, whether they've been there or not. Okay, Tom, I don't know whether you're into this, but we've got prize dicks coming up next.
Do I need to bear my past life with this?
Oh, might be a little bit of that. Okay. Or you can just slag off at us. That's how it works. I'm Martin Malloy. Malloy where, Pete? Give us the time. What is
it's
it?
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've showed up at an AC/DC concert dressed like one of the Pet Shop Boys. Perhaps you've unthinkingly asked Helmut Kohl when the baby's due. Or maybe you're just the leader of the One Nation Party. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process. The Lost World is the new movie from Steven Spielberg and the sequel to the most successful film of all time, Jurassic Park. Every prize dick takes home a Lost World prize pack and goes into the draw for a trip for two to Hong Kong to attend the world premiere of The Lost World. Okay, lads, bring forth the dicks.
We can do that. Thanks, Pete. And we're just watching now, because we've got the telly on in here today.
And it's someone else bring forth the dicks.
It's Larry Emdia.
I'll let you know.
We can solve any problems here.
How do you say Emdia?
Well, Tom, I was just thinking, Larry Emdia is in your film. He's in The Castle.
That's right, he is too.
Was that a film debut for Larry?
I guess it was, yes.
So what you're telling us...
Blue Velvet. You remember that? We had enough of that?
Okay, yeah, I think we have. So it doesn't look like there's going to be any surprise violence. But
we'll let you know.
I just like the idea that Larry Emdia is in a film at the Cannes Film Festival at the moment.
He could be the surprise hit, the find of the pre-dork of Cannes.
When the film de Emdia.
Now, Tom, it's prize dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately?
Well, can I go back historically?
Oh, as far as you want.
This was Form 2, or whatever they call it now, year of something. Art class, Miss Sibley's art class. And we're doing pottery.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, it was the first time we all got a lump of clay each. And have you got long? Because this goes on a bit.
Yeah, no. Okay. Go for your life. It's Martin Malloy.
I'll make a cup of it. And please. Anyway, so we all got our lump of clay and we're all sitting there moulding and squishing it, squashing it. And she's giving us instructions on, you know, that you can make anything you want. And kind of as an afterthought, she said, oh, by the way, be careful that you don't get any air trapped inside it because it could explode in the kiln.
Well,
you tell a bunch of boys.
We better be sure not to do that.
I spent an hour crafting an air ball, basically. It just had no formal function except to contain oxygen. And I believe I wasn't alone because apparently the entire kiln went up that high and took out a wing of the art room.
That's true. The IRA send their people out here to train in art classes at school.
So that was a collective prize dictum from the Form 2 art class.
There's a lot more fun to be had before you even get to the kiln. You just place the bit of pottery not quite in the centre of the wheel, crank it up to about 100, and see if you can piff it out the window in one go.
Well, hours of fun with a bit of clay.
All right, that's what we want from you, listeners. Call us up, tell us how you've made a dick of yourself.
Yep.
You don't have to have blown something up. It can be quite simple. We've got the Lost World Pack, and we're sending somebody, and we'll find out who it's going to be this Friday to Hong Kong to attend the premiere of The Lost World, hanging out with Steven Spielberg. Been in any glamorous film premieres? Tom, I know now that you're in the movie business, you obviously get a few invites.
That's a lot of red carpet under my feet over the past few weeks. But no, we actually didn't have a premiere of the cast. We figured we'd had so many screenings. I think the highlight for us was debuting it to the, I think it was the Victorian Greyhound Federation.
Oh, yeah.
They supplied a few dogs, so we had that. And after that, we felt it would just be, you know, a calm down.
They're very tough critics. Oh. I think it was thumbs down to the English patient from there.
They're
very severe. All right, call us now. Tell us how you made a dick of yourself. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Yes, that unnecessary din, as always, welcomes you to Prize Dicks here at Martin Malloy.
Yep.
Canvassing the nation, seeing who's made a dick of themselves. Tom Gleisner is here. He's, sitting in the Bernard King chair. There's no real judging required, Tom.
Okay, but I can just listen in and you know, cast a vote.
That's right.
Okay, indeed.
That's right. It's an important role.
It is.
And I think, first up, we've got... Is it Natalie? No, it's Dean. Mm. Dean is going first. Are you there, Dean?
G'day, how you going?
Good. Have you made a dick of yourself, Dean?
I sure have.
What's happened?
When I went to Bali with my wife and a friend of hers, we went out one night and got on the Terps.
Yep.
Next morning, I've gone up to breakfast to meet him at breakfast.
Right.
Didn't realise, but somehow I'd got my wife's bra caught me money belt.
Yes.
At the back.
Right.
And you know how you hang washing up?
Yeah.
Somehow I got caught in it and I went up to breakfast and everyone stood up and clapped me.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, give them a round.
I think they clapped your wife too when she wore a money belt instead of a bra.
That's right. I mean, in Bali, I mean, it would be embarrassing to have a money belt attached to your bra.
Indeed.
Well, I'm thinking. Right. Have you ever had anything like that happen to you, Tom?
No, I've never had a bra attached to me in any form.
Okay. Well, it's a simple one for openers.
It is indeed.
I think we can go much higher than that on the scale of dictum. And now we're going to speak to Natalie. Are you there, Natalie?
Yes, I am.
What's happened to you?
I've queued up to go into this parking area.
Mm-hmm.
I've paid my money to go in after waiting 10 minutes to get there to pay the money.
Mm.
I've driven around looking for a parking spot for ages and thought, oh, well, I'll go up to the next level and have a look.
Mm.
And I've gone up this ramp thinking I'm going to the next level, but I've actually driven out of the car park. And then I've had to drive all the way around the block to get back to the entrance and had to pay my money to get in again.
You've made a dick of yourself.
Okay. Wow.
And did they make you pay again? They didn't recognise you?
No, they didn't. I had to pay again.
Oh, that's a shonk, isn't it?
They'll recognise you now, Natalie. Do it again and you're going to have a free shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
She needs a money belt every time she goes parking.
But it's like when, you know, you go to the show and you go to the crazy house or something and you take a couple of turns and suddenly you're back out on the street.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it, is it? A revolving cylinder. Yep. And some ropes.
Cool.
Okay, well, that's certainly making a dick, but I think we're going to go even higher as we speak to Stephen. You there, Stephen?
Hello, yes.
What's happened, Stephen?
I have some expertise in this area.
Yeah. Mm.
I was out in my VJ Valiant utility, which I had painted metallic blue at the time.
Oh, very
and,
nice.
And got somewhat lost with this girl I was taking to a concert.
Yep.
On the way back from the concert, I pull over on the side of the road to give her a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Start kissing and forget that the car isn't in park and doesn't have the handbrake on, rolls down the hill, crashes into a tree, the radiator bursts, the girl screams, I burst out laughing, she slaps me and walks off.
Oh, well, Benedict, there's a lot going on there.
It could have been worse. Have you read World According to Garp?
Oh, yes.
We won't go into it.
No, but it involves the downstairs department. Have we got, Stephen, do we know what concert was it?
The Vapors.
Oh, you're in the lead.
You know, the story didn't need anything else, but he's just tipped it into the red. That's very much
papers. What did they say?
Oh, was that Turning Japanese?
Which has been re-released, hasn't it? Someone's on a car. Oh, anyway, we digress. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm always confusing the vapors with the aliens.
Exactly.
Don't get into it.
Okay, have we got, finally, David on the line? You there, David?
Yeah, mate, on me. How are you, boys?
Good. Thanks for waiting, David. Have you made a dick of yourself?
I did. Like Tom, it was a few years ago.
Yep.
And it was also in art class.
Oh, yeah.
Our art teacher was quite effeminate. Mr. Cardinal, his name was.
Mr. Cardinal.
Sounds like John Inman character, doesn't it?
Mr. Cardinal!
Like Tom, I had a bit of a feel for clay, and we used to enjoy stirring Mr. Cardinal. So I grabbed a handful of clay one day, walked up behind him and smacked him on top of the head with it.
Right.
And I didn't realise, but he used to wear a toupee. Ah. And I've lifted the clay back up and his toupee's come up. And the whole class was just dead. There was dead silence.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
That, in fact, is what happened to baby John Burgess with the mow. He got hit by a bit of clay and it just took it off.
The clay toupee.
That's Ray Martin's field, isn't it? Ray Martin, that's a tease. Hair is made out of clay. That was put in a kiln at some stage, I'm sure.
He has to be fired half an hour before a current affair every evening. That's
true. And if
true.
His hair in there, it just explodes.
That's when Mike Munro hosts.
Oh, he has to be completely fired, that bloke. All right, we're going to have to choose from them four, and which one is it going to be? Tom, you've got Dean with the money belt stroke bra. We've got Natalie round and about in the car park. Stephen with the Vapors concert and all the rest. And David with Mr. Cardinal. Which one do you like?
I think for musical taste alone, it has to be Stephen.
Yes, indeed. The idea that the Vapors used to even do concerts, I think, is news to everybody.
Came home from.
They returned. And are you there, Stephen?
Yes, it's the only thing I've ever won.
Oh, well, it's paid off. You went to the Vapors, you crashed the car, but it's all led to that Lost World pack. And you could well be going to Hong Kong.
Beauty.
And someone else will be driving, so you'll be fine. Be listening this Friday, and we'll be back with another Prize Sticks tomorrow. And Tom Gleisner, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And when's your show on?
Which, Frontline, 8 o'clock tonight, and don't be fooled, Friends often runs late. Just, you know, flip over 8 o'clock.
Good on you. 8 o'clock on the ABC. Totally Wasted, that's In Excess here at Martin Molloy, where it's party time. But it's time to go here at Martin Molloy, and we've made it. Is everyone intact?
Everyone's intact. Big hand for Andy Grace, navigated his way through the first show.
It's the first time we've ever done Martin Molloy without Gracie, and, look, come back, Gracie. No reflection on you, Andy. But it's just not the same.
It's a good job. We're still going to take you out the back and kick you in the pants. A couple of problems in the first hour, but we'll get there.
And I think it's time for us to go. We've got one call to get to before we sign off. So I'd like to thank Tom Gleisner, all our gladiators and prize sticks. Also Deb Clark, who was involved in that balloon animal condoms business.
Oh, yep. She's got that on her resume.
I'm sure she has. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Coca-Cola. Cheryl Crow will be with us. And just before we go, it was Mother's Day on Friday. We phoned up a lot of people. In case you didn't hear this, here's just one of our listeners.
Hello.
Hello, Val. It's Tony Martin and Mick Molloy calling.
Oh, dear.
You've heard the show, have you?
Oh, I have indeed. My son listens to it every night.
Oh,
am I being recorded?
You certainly are.
Yeah. Oh, well, I better be careful what I say.
No, it would never bothered us.
No, I know that.
Lisa and David want to wish you a happy Mother's Day for this Sunday.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
It is good news. And they've included quite a bit of detailed information about you on this fax.
Oh,
apparently, when people are talking to you, you just walk out of the room.
Well, I'm a busy woman.
And then when they call out, you just go, I can still hear you. Is that true? Could you explain that for us?
Well, it's absolutely true. They keep talking to me, and I'm walking to the laundry. I mean, the laundry and the clothesline are my main occupations, because I do all the washing and all the ironing, everything, and the laundry, the clothesline. And they say to me, can you still hear me? And I said, of course I can. And they just keep following me. And I said, and then they give up. And I say to them, well, follow me around. So what's the problem there?
It's all right, we can still hear you.
Sorry. So you should be able to. You just got to keep up with me, that's all.
That's all right. And they say also that you like a bit of comedy violence.
I don't know what that means.
I reckon any time someone bumps their head or jars their elbow, you fall over in peals of laughter and just cry, 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 having such a good time.
Oh, well, isn't it funny when you see somebody get into a bath? My husband once got into a bath and he just knocked his knee unbelievably on the side of the bath and was trying to look all sophisticated and everything. And I just roared with laughter. Well, it just cooled everything to me.
Would you like a quick laugh now, Val?
Yeah, go on.
I'm just going to fall down a flight of stairs for you. Here we go. There he goes. Ty's really hurt himself. Are you laughing, Val?
No, I've got to see you.
Ow, laugh when your bell's wet.
Ow, silly buggers.
Ow, quick, Val, please.
No.
Ow.
Oh, dear me. I've got to be there.
Now you tell me.
Sorry about that.
Look at me. If you can see me now, you'd be pissing yourself, Val. You would be pissing like the blood out the top of my head.
You're silly people.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us, Val.
Oh.
Have a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you very much.
And keep your husband away from the bath.
Yes, I will.